للصلاح يا للفلاح يا للفلاح بالتعاون بالصلاة بالتعاون بالصلاة الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله.
Straighten the saf, check that our heels are on the line and our cell phone switched off. Allahu Akbar. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. Allahu Akbar. Sami'a Allahu liman hamida. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. Inshallah, every Tuesday and Thursday we will be having some durus, some lessons, inshallah, from the front after Asr, inshallah. Today will be regarding Hajj, and the next few will be regarding Hajj, inshallah. So whoever can, make ourselves available, inshallah, so that you can benefit, inshallah. Jazakallah. اللهم صل على سبحان ربك رب العزة inshallah. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وأذن في الناس بالحج يأتوك رجالا وعلى كل ضامر يأتون من كل فج عميق الحمد لله الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين أما بعد. So one day there was a man standing on a mountain. There was a man standing on a mountain with no one around him. And he says, O mankind, your Lord has called you to do Hajj and he has chosen a house for himself. So come and do Hajj at his house. Who was this man? Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. So, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered Ibrahim alayhi salatu wa salam in the ayah that I recited in the start, وَأَذِّنْ فِي النَّاسِ بِالْحَجِّ يَأْتُوكَ رِجَالًا, that announce to the people to come to Hajj, and they will come to you, they will come to the Hajj on every, on foot, on animals, and from every valley, they will come to you. Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam at that time didn't question Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Can you imagine how, to our mind, you know, how absurd it sounds? Stand in the middle of a desert on a mountain, there's no one around you. There's no one. And call, tell them come for Hajj. Nobody's hearing you, apparently. No one's hearing you, nobody's around you, no one's seeing you. But Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam had iman in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he believed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He knew that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's command was greater than what he saw in front of him. So he stood on this mountain called Jabal Abu Qubais. And he says, Ya ayyuhan nas, inna rabbakum ittakhadhu baytan fahujjuh. O people, your Lord has chosen a house of worship. This was after he had built the Kaaba. So come and do Hajj at his house. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made this announcement be heard by every single person, all creation, jinn, humans, animals, stones, birds, trees, everybody heard this. Even those who were unborn also heard this announcement. And those, whoever answered the call of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, who said labbaik to the call of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, they were accepted for Hajj. Some narrations say that those who said labbaik more than once are the ones who went for Hajj more than once, or who will go for Hajj more than once. Allahumma ja'alna minhum inshallah. So this was the original invitation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for Hajj. And everybody who goes for Hajj is answering that invitation that Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam had done. Nowadays, at that time, in front of Ibrahim alayhi salam, there was no one. Can you imagine if Ibrahim alayhi salam saw a before and after picture? Him standing alone on the mountain, no one around him, and now, how many thousands and millions of people around? Just picture, did you even think that that would have crossed his mind? I mean, Makkah was not even in existence, there was nothing there, absolutely nothing. But nowadays, the slots are scarce. The space is scarce. You have to sit on quotas and lists and whatever until your name gets called up. But then also, there's certain people who say, my invitation didn't come. My invitation didn't come. But the invitation was given by Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. Which invitation are you waiting for? A letter? In your postbox? We'll send it from Masjid inshallah. So, you're not going to get a letter from Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. You were given the letter that time already. So, subhanallah. You know, certain people have this laid back attitude towards Hajj. That it will happen if it happens. Don't really make an effort towards it. And on the other hand, we have those who give up anything to go for Hajj. They don't have the means, but they try everything so that they can get there. So, some people try desperately. They try, they don't have the money, or they don't have the visas, or whatever. Their life situation doesn't allow them to go. But they keep on trying. They keep on trying. They keep on making effort. But this is the test from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah wants to see if we give up or if we continue trying to go. But shaitan, on the other hand, wants us to give up. Shaitan is like, ah, the visas are not coming. Your name is not coming up on the list. You haven't been accepted. So, that's what he wants us to give up. Now, the acceptance for the Hajj has few stages. It's not just one acceptance you go, but stages of acceptance. One was the invitation from Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. You to accept it means you start making an effort towards it. So that would be accepting the first stage. Then the effort of actually making an effort towards reaching it by saving up, starting the process, the visas, etc. Then the actual journey itself of trying to get yourself there, there's an acceptance in the journey also. And then fulfilling the Hajj, and then the end, asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for acceptance of the Hajj, at the end of the Hajj. Now in every step of this preparation and the invitation for the Hajj, you have to live with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You have to become one with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You have to become Allah ka banjao. You know, you have to become one of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In Surah Al-Hajj, it's about 80 ayat, Surah Al-Hajj, para 17. So quite a few ayat, 80 ayat, but very few of those ayat actually speak about Hajj. The whole surah is called Surah Al-Hajj. But very few of the ayat actually speak about the Hajj. In this surah, if you look at the whole surah, you'll realize that the whole surah is an invitation for Hajj. The surah itself, remember in Ramadan I also said, we should sometimes read the English of the Quran. Just to try and say, what is Allah trying to tell us? It would be preferable, obviously, to sit with somebody who will teach it to you, but obviously everyone doesn't have that opportunity. So then you maybe ask some alim which Quran or which tafsir would be preferable to read. But at least once in our life to read through the message and see what does Allah even tell us? What's Allah even saying? So, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants a person to go for Hajj, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to develop you before you go for Hajj. Allah wants to make you into something, then take you for Hajj. So the preparation for Hajj is not just get ready and go, but it's actually preparation and development of yourself before you go for Hajj. It's not just a journey, it's not just some holiday that you book. This is much more different from any other travel journey that you're going to do. So, this surah, there's one section in this surah where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has that no other surah in the whole Quran has. There's seven ayat, back to back, next to each other. And every ayah ends with two names or two qualities of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nowhere in the Quran, seven ayats together, all of them having two qualities of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is to show you that you have to know who Allah is before you come for the Hajj. The invitation process is knowing who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is. لَيُدْخَلَنَّهُمْ مُدْخَلَيْ يَرْضَوْنَهُ وَإِنَّ اللَّهَ لَعَلِيمٌ حَلِيمٌ Then, ذَلِكُمْ نَعَاقُبُ مِثْمَا عُقُبِي ثُمَا إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَعَفُوٌ غَفُورٌ Then next one, إِنَّ اللَّهَ سَمِيعٌ بَصِيرٌ The next one, إِنَّ اللَّهَ هُوَ الْعَلِيُّ الْكَبِيرُ All the qualities of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The next one is, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَطِيفٌ خَبِيرٌ The next one, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَهُوَ الْغَنِيُّ الْحَمِيدُ So all these qualities of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we have to know who Allah is. To recognize Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, have yaqeen in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala before going. So 14 names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Allah gave. Now, in this process where we become one, we know who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is, and we're in this way preparing ourselves for going for Hajj, notice the surah that comes before Surah Al-Hajj. So one is Surah Hajj, and what Surah Hajj is talking about. One is Surah Hajj, Surah that precedes Surah Hajj, Surah Anbiya. In Surah Anbiya, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the qualities of Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam. In Masjid al-Khayf, when you go for Hajj, you go to Masjid al-Khayf. In Masjid al-Khayf, 70 of the prophets did salah there. 70 of the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam did salah in that masjid. So when we doing Hajj, you're fulfilling that same journey that those 70 Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam had done. And the qualities that Allah SWT speaks about of those Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam, Nuh alayhi salam, Sulaiman alayhi salam, Dawud alayhi salam, and more. Allah SWT says, وَكَانُوا لَنَا خَاشِعِينَ إِنَّهُمْ مِنَ الصَّابِرِينَ إِنَّهُمْ مِنَ الصَّادِقِينَ. So these are, they were submissive to us. They were truthful to us. They were humble to us. They were righteous to us. So Allah SWT speaks of all these qualities of Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam. The next surah Allah tells you, you want to become like them? That's what you do. Do the Hajj. You want these qualities of Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam? Prepare yourself and come for Hajj. So, start with a proper intention. While we're sitting in this gathering, many of us probably already have an intention, but we renew the intention. Those who don't have the intention, make the intention. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, sincerely from my heart, I want to go. I really want to go. Then, in the hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the person who sincerely wants to go for Hajj, truly wants to go for Hajj, prepares himself for it, makes an effort for it, and then dies without reaching, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will record a Hajj for them. Even though you tried, even though you maybe had been on the list for years and your name didn't come up, even though you maybe didn't have the means, but you made your intention and you started the process, you died before that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala writes a Hajj for you. So, on the other hand, we can't just sit and say, oh, I'm waiting for my invitation. When my invitation comes, I'm going to go. Because every action that we have, salah, zakat, whatever, all to a certain extent is an invitation by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? The ayat also say about your rizq being given by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But who of us sits at home and say, oh no, Allah says He's going to give us a rizq. وَمَا مِنْ دَابَةٍ فِي الْأَرْضِ إِلَى اللَّهِ لَا رِزْقَهَا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says He's going to give us rizq, so we're going to sit at home, rizq will come, money will come. None of us do that. We go and make an effort to look for that risk, isn't it? So same way, the Hajj is there, the invitation is there, you need to make the effort. You need to show something that I want to go. So, when we go, you start applying, you start putting your name on the list, etc., whatever the process is, when you do all of these things and you don't give up, then inshallah that will be showing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I really want to go. I am actually making an effort. And inshallah, through that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take us. So, the hadith of Tabrani, من خرج من بيته يريد الحج, the person who leaves his house with the intention of Hajj, كتب له, and he dies on the way, كتب له أجر حج. For him it will be written, the reward of Hajj. Now, I just remembered, There was this famous Portuguese sailor. Now, I don't know if on this part of the planet if he's famous, but on our side of the planet, on our side of the earth, he's very famous. There's lots of shops, restaurants, places, towns, ports, lots of things named after him. SubhanAllah. His name was Vasco da Gama. He's a Portuguese sailor and conqueror and whatever. And subhanAllah, he, while on his one of his voyages, on his journeys, he met one of the Hujjaj on their ship. He raided their ship and set the whole ship on fire. Burnt all the Hujjaj alive. Burnt all the Hujjaj alive. No reason other than hating the Muslims. But for them, they didn't reach, they died on their way. The hadith says, Hajj was written for them. So, we have to just make our effort, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take us, inshallah. If we don't go, our intention was there, inshallah, there will be acceptance. Now, at Hajj, for those who went, I want you to answer this, inshallah. For those who went, the people who you met, were most of them millionaires, or most of them poorer people? What did you see? Who went for Hajj? most were poor. So if Hajj is something that costs money, how come it does the poorer people more? It's only acceptance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala invites, they are the ones who go. So those who saved up money, who took a long time, who tried to get themselves accepted, who saved for sometimes, who knows, decades before they got there. But they understood the assignment from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and they made an effort and they tried hard, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes them. One of my friends, he was a colleague with me, teaching with me in South Africa. Before lockdown, the price of Hajj was about 100,000 per person. And he was accepted just before the lockdown. Then lockdown happened, everything got mixed up, everything got delayed. Then after the lockdown and everything quieted down, and when they had, everything opened up where they could go, the price of the Hajj was no longer 100,000 that they had saved, 100,000 each. But now it was 220,000 each person. So now you think, subhanAllah, you've saved everything. In lockdown, people were not making money. People were eating from their savings. Your money went down, and now when it opens up, your money was supposed to be less. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took him also, even in that time. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes who he wishes, you know. All we had to do was show the effort, even though outwardly it seems impossible, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take us. And subhanAllah, in Hajj, for this Hajj, one of the advice I would give is, go and sit with those people who've been for Hajj and ask them, how did they go? Not what happened there, that's part of it. Ask them how the process was of saving money and whatever. That in itself, every single person's story is unique. Their process is unique, the difficulties they went through was unique, the hurdles they go through was unique, and that in itself builds your iman. That preparation is what builds the iman and is what prepares you to a certain extent for the Hajj. So some people save and some people got daddy's money, so they go. But for some, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes it that they have to try for many, many years before they go. It's one of the pillars of Islam, Hajj. But it's one that only comes once in our life. Well, to be fard. Some take it as a normal trip, as a holiday. And others really make an effort for it. The salah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted you to check in with him 5 times in a day. 5 times a day, I want to see you. So that you refresh your iman with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You clock in to the boss, you know, you go and check up with him. What's my next task, whatever. Going 5 times a day. So, once in a year, you're fasting, we need to cleanse ourselves internally. Zakat, once in a year, you have to cleanse your money. All of these things are once in a year. Imagine the Hajj, what kind of a journey is it? That only once in your life is enough to prepare you for meeting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Once in your life, but that would be enough to prepare you for meeting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, the preparation for the Hajj, وَتَزَوَّدُوا فَإِنَّ خَيْرَ زَادِ التَّقْوَى. The preparation, the things that you are getting ready for your Hajj, should be taqwa. The provisions for Hajj should be taqwa. Yes, you'll need money also. But you need more than money, is you need acceptance. So you have to prepare your heart, not only your luggage. Right. Before going for Hajj, you have to learn how to do the Hajj correctly. Some of us, I spoke to one person, one of my neighbors, and he said he was going for Hajj. I asked him, did you go for like classes and whatever? Like, to me, Allah accept me, inshallah, I haven't been. But I would want that I go for many lessons before I go for the Hajj. Because if you're spending all that time, all that effort, so much of money, so many years of saving, whatever, until you go, I don't want to make any mistakes. I don't want to miss out on something. I was surprised that his answer, he's like, he didn't go for any lessons. He's like, no, we've got some ulama on the journey with us and we'll learn on the way. He's like, aren't you going to prepare anything? You know, but it was like the conversation was like the day before he goes for Hajj. a bit late, you know. But subhanAllah, some of us don't really prepare. We have to make that preparation that we know what we're doing. In the olden days, you went for Hajj, your Hajj was weeks or months. Actually, throughout history, if you look from 1400 years, illa the last 100 years, if you cut out the last 100 years when there was flights and whatever, everything before that took months, weeks, or longer than that. Just to go from Baghdad, it's written in the kitabs, to go from Baghdad to Makkah, it's Iraq to Makkah, it's not that far. It's probably a 2-hour flight. It used to take them 6 months. That's with the fears of getting robbed on the way. That's with the fears of things happening to you on the way, getting sick, losing your money, any of those things happening on the way. And people would go for that journey in the way, on the way, if they lost their money or they were short of money or whatever. They would stop, work for somebody on their way, make some money, carry on to the next town. That's how they went. But in that whole preparation, the yearning for going became more and more. The want to go to Makkah became more and more. The desire grew. The more longer it took you, the more the desire grew. And with that also, while you were going, there was these mudhakiras, if you could call it that. In a way, they reminded you, you spoke about the Hajj, you prepared yourself for the Hajj, you mentally prepared yourself over that time before you got there. Nowadays, how many hours flight from here to Makkah? 6-7 hours flight? 6-7. Had to do that. So, that short flight, how much of preparation? In the morning you were still at work, winding up your last few things, and in the evening you're in Makkah. How much of heart preparation was there? How much of ruh was into it? Your mind is still at work. You haven't even left the house yet, and you're already there. And the next day you're starting Hajj. So the preparation should be done before. There should be some change before we go. You know, some kind of learning process, some sort of change in our life that we make before we go. So, and subhanAllah, I just thought of this, you know, like when if you were going on a camel's back, or on horseback or something, how much of time do you, subhanAllah, there's no time for reels and YouTube and whatever to pass your time while you were going, you know? So you were on that horseback going slowly, slowly with your labaiks and whatever. Imagine how much of boredom there was in between, which boredom is good, you know? In that bored times that you had, how many du'as did you plan out? When I go there, I'm going to ask for this, and I go there, I'm going to ask for that. Or when after the Hajj, I'm going to change my life like this, or I'm going to change my life like that. You had all this time to prepare yourself. Whereas now, it's no longer like that. Rasulullah ﷺ himself, when he went to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Mi'raj, there was a preparation. His heart was taken out and washed before he went for Hajj. Likewise, we're going to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we're going on a special invite from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A VIP invite that certain people only get once in their entire life. That invitation, prepare yourself for it. Wash yourself before you go. Make sure we are cleansed from inside before we go. So, sometimes, you know, when you go for Hajj, that 8th of Zul Hijjah, it's called Yawm al-Tarwiha, the day of rest. It's actually not a rest day. It's not that, oh, there's going to be a lot of walking the next day, so you're going to relax today. It's actually a day for preparing the heart. And there was one man who went for Hajj 80 times. Every single time he made dua at the end of his Hajj, oh Allah, bring me back. The year that he forgot to say that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala didn't bring him back. So it's also part of it is dua. Rabbana, ربنا وجعلنا مسلمين لكم من ذريتنا أمة مسلمة لك وأرنا مناسكنا وتب علينا. This is a dua. One of my teachers taught us that if you read this dua, inshallah, you will go for Hajj or Umrah. One of the two, you will go for definitely. وأرنا مناسكنا وتب علينا. Oh Allah, you show us the manasik of Hajj and forgive us. So try to read this a lot of times, inshallah. Then, when we go for Hajj, you see all kinds of people. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala levels us all out. Where no matter who you are, no matter how high you are, subhanAllah, you might be the Imam of the Haram, you might be the king, you might be a president, or you might be the street sweeper for all we know. All look the same. Two white towels. Alas. Everybody is the same. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala levels us all out. So when we go, inshallah, no matter how rich you are, how poor you are, how famous you are, no matter what, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala levels you out and then makes you the same in front of Him. So a man, he went for Hajj 60 times. And after 60 times, he said, I was shy to ask Allah to bring me back. I was shy to ask Allah to bring me again after 60 times. So in his dream that night, he had a voice saying to him, do you invite to your house anybody except those who you love? It's only those who you love you call. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loved him. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala kept on calling him. So he got up the next day, start asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, take me again. Allah bless some of us, subhanAllah. My own dada, he went for one Hajj and never returned. He went there, completed the Hajj. The day after, he said, I'm feeling sick. He is there. His brother went for 40 Hajj. Alhamdulillah. The brother's intention, my own dada's intention was whatever, you know, going for Hajj. His brother's intention was, I want to die in Makkah. Went 40 times trying to die there. Like, with the hope, obviously. Any one of us would want to do that, you know. He goes, comes back, dies at home. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept. Obviously, it's not an easy thing to go 40 times, subhanAllah. He owned almost nothing. Every single amount of money that he earned went into one piggy bank, save for the next Hajj. And in between that, he went for Umrahs also. Anytime he got a chance, he was back on the plane. SubhanAllah. So we have to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, take us again and again. Invite us again and again, inshallah. There was a lady who used to rent a house behind us. So she used to have by her light switch. You know that those travel agency people's cards, the business cards. So one day I asked, Auntie, how come you have this, Auntie Maryam, why do you have this card by your light? Like, why did you stick it here by your light? She said, because every time I switch on the kitchen light, I remind myself I want to go for Hajj. She was renting a one bedroom. She had hardly any money. She wasn't even working. She left the house and then she moved somewhere else. And after a year, she came back to visit us. She's got this whole bucket full of Cook Sisters. Cook Sisters is a sweet thing that we make. It's looks like gulab jamun, but like they're big, they're huge. And so she brought this thing. I'm going for Hajj. SubhanAllah. The desire was always there. So we have to take this Hajj seriously, subhanAllah. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Walillahi ala nasi hajjul bayt. For Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Hajj of His house. Man istata'a ilayhi sabila. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes it fard on us to the Hajj for those who it's possible to make the journey. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala after that says, وَمَنْ كَفَرَ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ غَنِيٌّ عَنِ الْعَالَمِينَ. Those who have the means and turn away from it, they don't really care about it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Allah is ghani. Allah is independent. Allah doesn't need you. Nor does He need your Hajj. Allah is not going to gain anything from you coming. So that in itself should show us how serious it is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't want you if you don't want to come. Allah don't care about you if you don't come. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us what our intention for Hajj should be. وَتِمُّ الْحَجَّ وَالْعُمْرَةَ لِلَّهِ. Do your Hajj, do your Umrah only for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Do your Hajj, do your Umrah only for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in the hadith, Allahumma salli ala sayyidina Muhammad, إِذَا أَمَرْتُكُمْ بِشَيْءٍ فَأْتُوا مِنْهُ مَا اسْتَطَعْتُمْ. That if I order you to do something, then do it in the best way possible. So that's why we should learn how to do it, so that when we go, we do it in the best way possible. Now, all of us make that intention in our, even if you went, that we go. Obviously, if you went already, then that's your hajj, your fard done. And after this, it would be a nafil. But what, those of us who haven't been, make sure your intention is, I'm going to do this and it's going to be the best one ever. And if Allah takes us again after that, those will be bonus ones. But the first one should be the best one. So Imam Malik has a very interesting perspective on Umrah, where he says you're not allowed to do more than one Umrah in a year. Interesting, you know, subhanAllah, we would normally say do lots of Umrahs. Imam Malik said, don't do many Umrahs, do maximum one a year. His reasoning was, if you do too many, it's going to be diluted. It's going to be like, you know, okay, I didn't do it too, my mind wasn't there today, I'll come back tomorrow and do another one. So you don't be with your whole heart, it will be half-half, because you know you can try again. But if you know you're only coming once, then you do it properly. So the perspective is different. So when we're going, inshallah, go for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not to show anybody, but go with the correct intention. And wallahi, those who go for Hajj, there's a different thing that happens to them. There's something special that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala changes within them. And if they don't change, subhanAllah, I think you have to start questioning yourself if you don't change. If nothing in you changes, then what did you do? But so much so that in history, if you read history, the kuffar are afraid of a person who goes for Hajj. The kuffar are afraid of a person who goes for Hajj. Now, we have a lot of Indonesians, Malaysians that live in South Africa. We call them Cape Malay. They're the ones who make those cook sisters, right? So they have a thing, subhanAllah, they take Hajj really seriously. Like, even those who are not well off, they really, really make an effort to go for that Hajj. You'd be amazed at their stories, really. Anyway, so these people, when they come back from Hajj, they would always like to be referred to as Haji, whatever. If they introduce themselves, they always say, I'm Haji Muhammad, I'm Haji whoever, you know, they always add this. So it's like a token of honor that they went for Hajj. And if somebody went for more than one Hajj, everybody in that town would know that that person went for more than one Hajj. What's very interesting is what they do. Before they go for Hajj, they would invite everybody, the whole town, to the house. So on the masjid board, they write there, Faiz and Zulaikha, whatever their name is, you know, we're going for Hajj. Come and meet us on Sunday. Everybody comes to the house, have tea, biscuits, whatever. And the whole town comes together and everybody gives them some money. 10 rand, 5 rand, because the areas they come from are poor. 10 and 5 is not even pence to you guys. You know, 10, 15, 20, like they give them like that, small amounts of money. Just so that their money would be used in Hajj. SubhanAllah. The hadith we read a few nights ago at the back, a person who goes for Hajj, every single cent that they spend is multiplied in one hadith 100,000 times, in another hadith 4 million times, in another hadith 40 million times. SubhanAllah. So, how many times Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala multiplies it by spending? These people's intention is, if my 1 rand can reach there, then it will multiply so many times. So the outlook, you know, when we're doing something. Anyway, so we were in that area, we were in Jumad there. There's the first masjid built in South Africa is in Cape Town, right? So it's called Awal Masjid. It was built during the Dutch rule. On the road of Awal Masjid, so Sunday mornings they have cook sisters, this gulab jamun thing. Right. So on that road, we asked the Muadhin, you know, who makes nice cook sisters? So he said, go to the last house, top of the hill, on the right side. So we went there, asked the auntie how much it was. It was 1 rand each. That means for 1 pound, you get 22, almost 2 dozen. Actually, a few months ago, you would have gotten 2 dozen with the exchange rate. Subhanallah. So, and they big. I mean, do you get 1 gulab jamun for 1 pound? How much profit was that lady making? Right? So the houses are old. The houses are, that masjid is almost 300 years old, being the first masjid. Those houses were built around the same time. Right? So those houses are 200-300 years old. And the house, you can see, it's obviously old, right? But the kitchen was, wow. The kitchen was fab. I asked, auntie, how come your kitchen looks like out of a magazine and the rest of your house just looks ordinary? Like, the rest of your house looks old. So she said, I sold cook sisters only on Sunday morning. And for goodness knows what profit she was making on that. She was selling those cook sisters. And she said, I saved up that money to go for Hajj. And when I was done Hajj, now I made my kitchen nice, and slowly, slowly I'll make the rest of my house nice. Now anyway, back to the history part of the name, the word Haji at the start of your name. Remember, these people originate from Indonesia. Indonesia was ruled by the Dutch. South Africa was also ruled by the Dutch. It's the connection. The Dutch, when they ruled Indonesia, they didn't allow people to go for Hajj. They didn't allow them to go for Hajj for a very long time. And when they did allow them to go for Hajj, when you came back, you had to have Haji in the start of your name. As a marker. Not as an honor from the government side. What they told you was as an honor. But from the government side, it was not that. It was a marker on your head. Here I am. I'm the problem one. Really, seriously, that's what they did. Because they feared people who went for Hajj. They took it as people who go for Hajj come back changed and more scary, if you could call it that, to them. Subhanallah. Because what the Dutch went through in history was, whenever there was people who wanted freedom, they didn't get it until they went for Hajj. So they wanted to, you know what I'm talking about, that freedom, right? You go for Hajj and come back and try, you will always get it. Before the Hajj, you don't get it. So they were fearful of that. And as soon as they had that marker on you, they could watch you. If they didn't have the marker on you, they didn't know who you were. So that's why the compulsory marker on everybody's name. Subhanallah. Go for Hajj with the right intention. Go for Hajj with the intention of changing, with the intention of becoming better, and with the intention of that Makkah effect coming on you to make you a stronger person. Inshallah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq, inshallah. The next halaqa, inshallah, we will speak about the actual Hajj and what we do in it, inshallah. And then in between, if we have a chance, we'll speak about what to prepare for the Hajj, as in items wise. If not, we might skip over that one. So maybe somebody else who went for Hajj can do that. سبحان الله وبحمده سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك اشهد ان لا اله الا انت استغفرك واتوب اليك